Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it's now or never, and we've got little bit more time. Apparently, we're getting another day, and we're getting another week. We'll probably get another month. I know things can go south really quickly. As a matter of fact, a good example of that is the stock exchange. As you can see, it slowly climbs up and up and up. And then when it goes down quick. When all of a sudden everybody's trying to dump and nobody wants to buy their stock, then that stock becomes worthless. It's not even worth the paper it's printed on in some respects. But the truth be told, if those are good stocks, they are good stocks. It's good paper. The problem is it's nothing but speculation. It really isn't worth the paper that it's written on. Now, there are some stocks that are out there that aren't, you know, a part of the game. Microsoft, Apple, all of these companies, Amazon, they could literally go away tomorrow. And they could be absolutely of no value, because will it make a difference whether you can purchase something on Amazon tomorrow if something else replaces it? There's already competition. I don't even buy from Amazon. I would rather buy from Walmart than from Amazon. It is very clear Bezos wants to actually control, and actually he wants to basically make sure that people are kept in check. He's a huge progressive. Now, even though the Walton family and, you know, the owners of Walmart may be, you know, billionaires and have some progressive, you know, tendencies or lean, they're not like Bezos. They're not like Zuckerberg and all of these other hardcore leftists. Now, this kind of begs the question. One of the things that, I think people have forgotten about Elon Musk. Have you forgotten that Elon Musk wants to create the Internet of Things? His SpaceX, he's been spending his own money in launching 60 satellites at a whack, in putting hundreds, thousands of satellites up in geosynchronous orbit to provide internet for 5G and all of this other stuff. Are you kidding me? I mean, here is a guy that's actually, and he may be implementing a plan. But if you understand what this will do, this is the Big Brother control network that connects everything, regardless of where you are. And as we've talked about the Real ID with Mark Lerner of the Constitutional Alliance, and I just talked to Doug Gibbs about what's going on in California with these Big Brother monitoring systems they put in Temecula. Folks, let's not forget, you know, there are other hands and fingers on these hands that work in washing each other. And Elon Musk is just another hand in this sink, in this globalist sink that is trying to wash the world of its of the cultures and our perceptions that we want to cling on to, our religion, our gods, and so forth. And these people are trying to move us down this path of, you need to accept what we want for you, because what we want for you is best, and we control everything anyway. Now, the person that actually can feed themselves and the person that can actually take care of their needs, not necessarily their lusts and desires, but their needs. You get your three squares and a cot, you know, get your sleep, you have decent health, and you know, what do you really need? If you realize what you really need and you actually just focus on just those things, you'll find that you can get by your own hand and by your own efforts what you need. Anyway, the point is that when we start learning to become disciplined and doing without buying for something because you needed it from Amazon and you could go somewhere else to get it, then we start recognizing, wow, we can actually, our value goes up because we're spending less money, because we're just doing without. Now, I understand paying off debt, and I understand going down these paths of becoming financially independent. You know, the fallacy is most people think I got to spend money to make it. That's not necessarily the case. And a lot of times I've seen people go into business that, oh, we got to throw over these parties and bring people in and so forth. Why do you think most startups fail? Because people do not understand that you can't spend money to actually, you know, you can't spend your own money in bolstering your own business. You have to actually have a decent product to start off with. And what ends up happening in the successful cases is you're driven into business. In other words, I knew a guy. He was really good at fixing cars. He was a mechanic. He actually worked for a large dealership, and he was their lead mechanic. He was the guy in charge. And people kept on going to him. So he finally said, you know, I'm doing so much of this work on the side, you know, out in front of his house. He bought some property, put a little garage out there, a three-car garage, and started working on, you know, on people's cars on his spare time. Started realizing he had more spare time, made more spare time. Before you know it, he basically quit his job because he was making more business working for himself because he was successful in providing a great product and service. And that's how you drive into business. You just don't say, I'm going to do this and then spend a lot of money. That's one of the reasons why lots of businesses just fail. Because you're not driven into business, you decided to step into business. And 9 times out of 10, when you stepped into the pool, you stepped into the wrong end and you're well over your head, because now all of a sudden you're operating in the red. And that's why most businesses fail within their first year. Anyway, thank you for listening. As you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solution. I hope you enjoyed the conversation and interview I had with Paul Venable, who is the only federal candidate that is calling for the removal of Biden and actually calling on Congress to do what they should have done constitutionally in 2021, on January 6th, on that fateful day where American patriots became prisoners to a political system that has no regard for their constitutional rights and no regard for the Constitution. If we're going to turn this country around, you have to start making the issue. You have to start making this very specific issue that Biden must be removed. We have to end this constitutional crisis, and we have to actually have Congress execute the 12th Amendment to determine who should be president. See, I'm not saying that they just should put Trump in office. They have to go and they have to follow the 12th Amendment, and they have to do it constitutionally. Therefore, I'm confident that Trump will be seated in 2023 if we make this the primary federal issue for Congress. Everybody, every state, this needs to be the chatter between now and November. Now, I've told Paul, and I think I mentioned it on the show, but I've said to him a few times now, and I'm telling other people. And as a matter of fact, we're injecting in the Liz Cheney race. We're having this conversation, and I'm hoping I can talk to Anthony Burchard, who is actually running to unseat against Harriet Hagman. I would love to talk to Anthony Burchard because I think he should be coming out swinging, and I think he should actually start leading on these things. There's a lot of things he could be leading on, and he needs to talk to me. There is a constitutional candidate that's out there as well. Now, you know, if you want to pull your punches, if you want to be a politician, you want to pull your punches, you'll never get elected. You're always going to lose. And if you feel that you have to kowtow to the machine, then I don't think we want you. I don't think we are better off having you. I think we need a fighter. I think America wants a fighter that does the right thing. We want superheroes that actually, what was that, the old Superman, for justice and the American way, fighting for freedom and justice and the American way, something like that. And I'm really, really testing the old gray matter between the ears here. But the fact is, we want politicians to actually do that heavy lifting and heavy fighting. Anyway, This is why we need to get these things injected. If you have federal candidates, we've got the script. It's up on Reclaiming the Republic. We've got the one script for your incumbents. The open seats, if you have an open seat without an incumbent, we've got that script coming. But we now have a script for you to actually challenge. It's a little over a page, but you need to stand up and read this script when you get a chance to go to the town hall. You need everybody to read this script because you want people to say, hey, what's up with this lawsuit? Can you tell us about this lawsuit and the January 6th fiasco that you participated in, like Liz Cheney? Folks, when we hold their feet to the fire, we can watch them dance the ugly dance, because I'm telling you, nobody is dancing the artistic, you know, sophistry of, you know, ballet or what have you when you're walking on coals. And having politicians walk on coals, that's the ugly dance, and that's what we want to see, because we have to hold them accountable. Fact of the matter is, they're doing ugly things, and they're doing things that we don't deserve. We deserve better, and we should be expecting them to be walking on water. And if they're not, then make them do the ugly dance. Let me get through some of these obligatories. As you know, Wyoming Constitutional Chronicle, please check it out and please get involved in looking at trying to create that right here in your own state or right there in your own state. The other thing we want to actually get into are the endorsements. We'll do those real quick, but we're getting right back into these issues that we need to cover for you regarding the... you know, like property and so forth. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
So as we're going into break, I was covering the Wyoming Constitutional, or actually, it's Conservative Chronicle. I call it the Constitutional Chronicle, so forgive me. But they go check out the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. I'd love to see the name Constitutional, but it is what it is. You go out the gate and you say, this is what we're going to do. Because most people, they cherish conservatism. And that's really unfortunate that we don't cherish the Constitution. It's just like, well, what is that? It's nobody understands it, so why, you know, why care? It's sad. It's an indictment. Anyway, if you haven't gotten your subscription, go get your subscription to the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. I mean, for many years, people used to get the New York Saturday, you know, whether it's, was it the Saturday Post or whatever, these magazines out of New York, so everybody could see what New York lifestyle is. I think America needs to start looking retrospectively into the heartland of America, and this is the newspaper to get, okay? As we know, we've got money problems, we have money issues, we see all sorts of mayhem in the future. So, folks, get disciplined now. If you need a coach that can help you actually become in control of your own finances so you can become successful financially, give Gary Smith a call at Fortitude Financial Coaching. Fortitude Financial Coaching. I got it right. Fortitude Financial Coaching. See what happens when you look away real quick and you go, yeah, did I get that right? Anyway. The next endorsement I want to cover, because I used to cover all of these in one show, and it just takes up too much time. Stan Kluett at RadioDustCovers.com can make a custom dust cover for whatever it is you need. If you have nice equipment and you have pets, you have an area or a cabin where you have to leave some of this stuff unattended for a long period of time, don't let the dust and the mildew and all of these particulates in the air get into this sensitive equipment. Get a dust cover for it and let Stan just send him the product information and or the design pictures and so forth, and he will create the precise dust cover that you need, and you'll be happy to check it out. He has some samples of what he's done and how he's covered other people's equipment, radio and so forth. RadioDustCovers.com. Now, one of the things we found out is Ad Local will give you a turnkey system for a campaign page at $2,500. Now, in some respects, that may seem like a lot of money, but we're talking about a turnkey system that will actually get you between now and the election. There is considerations to be made, because if your primary is only 2 months away and you just want to do this and you have campaign money to spend to do something like this, because bottom line, folks, if you don't have a campaign webpage, this is a way anybody can contribute. The people that listen to this radio show, they don't know how to get the money into your hands. If you have a campaign page, then they can actually go online and throw you some money, give you some love. And the hope is that you could easily make, through the campaign contributions online, all the money that would actually have paid for that web design and that web support from Ad Local. So check them out if you're looking for getting a campaign page and you are in the race to win. Anywho, so one of the things I want to let you know is we had this conversation with Paul Venable. I also had a conversation with Paul Nally. Paul Nally is a common law, if let's just say common law expert. He's been around a while. He's definitely been around a little longer than I have. And he understands common law. He actually has been working with common law grand juries, common law courts, and has served as a magistrate or a judge in the state of Georgia. And so we interviewed him, and this is like a series of interviews. And so we actually have common law coming up as some of the issues that it's a part of things we have to restore, folks. So if we've got to restore stuff, if we've got to re-implement, and we have to get rid of our existing court system and our legal system and return back to the actual law of the land, which is common law, what does it take to do that? And so that's what these conversations with Paul Nally is all about, so that we can actually capture and simplify what I believe is the process. I'm loving this conversation, and I think you will too. I hope not to go down too many rat holes, because it's really easy to do that when you're talking with somebody that understands the nuances, details, and so forth. We will be airing that when we get to that point in these issues. Now, right now, we're on the we're still on elections being local, okay? And as we move through these things, we'll be covering voting in a Republican form of government and reinforcing property rights and intellectual property rights and so forth. And then we'll hit common law. So we're about, let me see, we're four pages in, and common law is, where are we at, about
It's about halfway through. This is a 16-page document currently. It'll probably turn into about 40, 50 pages as I start inserting all of the reference material or all of the information so it helps you understand and places context to what these things are, such as defining bills of attainder and punishment, such as defining an ex post facto law. Right now, these are just bullets. That's all it says is defining bills of attainder and punishment. Why is it that that's in the Constitution? Why is it that this is important? You know, if it's in the Constitution, it is important. And the framers understood the perils behind bills of attainder and punishment. They understood the perils of ex post facto laws. It's just that because we become illiterate and we don't know what these things are, this is why they get away with doing these things. Remember, as I said, Thomas Jefferson basically stated, ignorance of the law is no excuse, because when you become ignorant of the law, those who actually prosecute the laws, I'm paraphrasing, but those who actually execute and prosecute the law will actually use pretense and make false laws and so forth so that they can control you. It is the inherent nature of man in governing and so forth. Once power is assumed, corruption of power begins, because people start trying to ingratiate and aggrandize their power and control over you. Anyway, back to these areas of election, because we've been talking and very focused on, you know, businesses and PACs and what a PAC could do and what a business could do. And so we covered this pretty clearly, but the last thing that we wanted to get into, a single business, a ma and pa business, you know, an athletics business, or, you know, some sewing and, or let's just say a dry cleaning, whatever. It is not a franchise. A single business entity or organization that does not have any ties to any other business entity or organization, and they solely operate within the AOE, does not have to account for the sources of their profits unless the area of election officials seek an audit to verify all sources of profits have come from within the AOE. So what I want to say is that we shouldn't have to worry, but here's my point, and I'm not putting it in here, but I guess I need to, so when we go to break, I'll have to insert this. We have to understand that when the left is getting involved and they start throwing money, they could use this little seamstress, somebody that hems up dresses and your pants and so forth, and they got a little shop next to the dry cleaner or what have you, and you think this is a little ma and pa shop, so you wouldn't think that they would be bringing in millions of dollars a month, or it wouldn't be a $1 million business, right? It's just something that somebody is doing to, you know, bring in extra money at home, give them something to do, give them, you know, a little bit of social interaction, commerce, you know, good experience, whatever. It is not a huge enterprise where you're making millions of dollars. So we have to think that even though this small businesses or single entity businesses may be immune, or at least we could say they can be immune, we also have to have a plunger or the ability to say that business needs to be audited, because look at how much money they're throwing into this election race. When they start throwing lots of money, especially if they've never done it before and they start doing it, then there needs to be a mechanism to say, you know, we need to audit this. Where are your profits coming from? And if you have to go through the taxes to look at, you know, hold up, you didn't even make that much money last year and the year before combined. And now all of a sudden you're saying you've made this much profit? Now we need to see this. We need to see how you made this profit. You know, every school in the entire county came to you and got all of their school uniforms and sporting out, you know, uniforms and designs and outfits and all this stuff. You're doing all of that? I mean, one person can't do all of that. Not to that magnitude. I mean, when you really start thinking about how much one person can really do in labor, you only got 40 hours a week, or even if you were working over double overtime, right? I mean, you can still only put so much sand in a sandbag with one hand, one shovel, and a pile of sand and a bunch of bags. You can only get those bags filled up, and we're talking filled up. You can only get so much work done. So we have to have this ability to actually inject and say, we need to audit this person, because the left is notorious for finding somebody that would be willing, because they don't care. And as a matter of fact, a lot of times the leftists don't care if they get caught. You got to remember that that commitment thing I read for you, that was Billy Graham, what Billy Graham read to his audience. The left, these communists, they don't care. They don't mind being martyrs. They believe so hard and so confident in what they're doing, and they ardently support it to a point they don't mind going in front of firing squads. They're willing to die. This is a paradigm that people need to get into their heads to understand that these people, the motto is the ends justify the means. Because if they can get away with it, they will end up getting a protection, because that's what corruption does. If you can start successfully being corrupt and acting corruptly, after a while you get rewarded, and we'll be right back after this. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL, or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
So in addition to these small companies that could be basically political laundering machines and injecting money from outside the area of election, because, folks, I can't emphasize enough how important it is that you control your elections. I mean, there's not much help we can offer the leftists that want to violate the Constitution by trying to put tyrants in that violate their oath of office. We have to get to a point where everybody, it doesn't matter, even if their people vote them in and they say, we want them to violate the Constitution. I'm sorry, it's still the supreme law of the land. We have to enforce it. This is why, when we start exercising republic review, if you understand, because I don't go through the process a lot, when a state like Texas actually says all of our representatives in Congress, because they have a lot, they're a highly populated state, and so they do have Democrats, and if they have Democrats that vote against enforcing the Constitution and vote against the directives that come from the states, then Texas will recall those Democrats, and the governor will inject Republicans to actually do that. And if the voters put another Democrat in to do the same thing, then they will be removed.
after a while, the voters will start recognizing, you know, I guess they really have to follow their oath of office and oblige and comply to the Constitution. Wow, imagine that, folks, that politicians can't get away with violating their oath of office. This goes back to, you know, the history of how many times I hear people say they take an oath of office, can't we hold them to it? Yes, it's right there in the Constitution. It's been there since the 14th Amendment. And why is it that we've heard since I've listened in the 70s and 80s about, you know, complaining, people taking the oath of office? Because this is where it became flagrant in America. Oh, they were violating. FDR violated his oath of office. Teddy Roosevelt violated his oath of office. There were these flagrant big name people, but a lot of people didn't realize how Congress and how the judges and all these other people, you're also violated, because it wasn't in your face type of flagrant violations. They were just little things, still not supporting the Constitution. Well, nowadays it's all bad and it's all right in your face. They're literally tearing down and tearing apart this country and saying, we can do this because we're a democracy. No, we're not. We have the rule of law here. And if you don't abide by it, you lose your citizenship. As a matter of fact, one of the things that Paul Venable sent me over the weekend was an interesting insight commentary regarding citizenship and the importance of supporting the Constitution. And I want to actually give this to you, so we'll get into it down the road. It's definitely something important, and it's definitely going into my archives as far as my reference material, because it actually basically restates all of the things I've been saying. So, anyway, let's get back to these small businesses and how they can play these shenanigans, where you can get a hardcore liberal leftist that actually starts violating election laws by accepting money from Soros or somebody outside of the area of election and uses that money to contribute to bad candidates or people in influencing the election. It's allowing foreign influence to be injected. Now, if they're willing to do that, then they're willing to actually lose their citizenship and actually, you know, lose their business and whatever other penalties that we need to throw at them. But here's the other way this can be done. It may not be done necessarily through what we would say a nefarious source like George Soros. There are ways of doing this, like internet revenue. I mean, look at how many people supposedly donated to the Obama re-election campaign in 2012 from around the world. And he took... And most people look at that and go, are you kidding me? This is legitimate? Foreigners are able to actually pay for an American president? Are you kidding me? Well, when we make money our God, and that's all we have to do, then we actually turn our back on the source of that money, because it's God. It's coming from China, but that's okay, it's God. This is what happens when we actually start worshiping other gods or creating idolatry, those types of things. And I don't even want to go down that path and start ranting on that. The fact is, internet revenues must be tracked as to whether they are from within the AOE. If you have a small business and all of a sudden you go on the internet and you start selling lots of stuff, then you need to keep track, or that business needs to keep track of those revenues that are coming in, because technically with the World Wide Web, you can, and you should not be commingling the funding of that operation. In other words, if that money is coming from outside, you should not be able to use that. What we want to do is we want to make sure that the people, everybody in that county, everybody within the area of election has an equal footing on obtaining finances from within the area of election. And so just because somebody has sources to feed them money from external, whether it be through a legitimate business source of revenue, that money cannot be commingled and used in the election period. I mean, it's one thing to commingle it in your profits, but when it comes to profits and being able to use money in a local area election, you have to focus that money that only came from within that area. This makes it, this closes this whole concept of anybody can buy or anybody can influence. Now, here's the thing. I don't want you to think that because we're doing this, that we want to be on the high road at this point in time. And what I mean by this, we do want to be on the high road at this point in time, but we can't be. And as long as other people are obtaining money from other sources, I am going to continue to ask you to throw your money to the good source, to the people that need it, because Soros is doing everything he can to actually get these people out of office that we're trying to reelect, and they're trying to keep these bad people in office. We need your help and we need your support. This really comes down to this whole concept of why is it that GR doesn't want your money? It's because at this point in time, it's not like I need it. When I die, my wife is going to need it. And so this is why we want to monetize the show. We need your help in getting involved in that. Get involved in monetizing the show. Once we actually start bringing money in and we can actually, because when we bring money in, it's not money for us. The very little bit that we're going to bring in for me will be actually paying off or replacing the money I use from the retirement to help give my wife the financial support. I mean, I'm taking a lot of risk, and I've taken a lot of risk in doing this. I'm just trying to refund that retirement for her. But the majority of all the money that's coming in, we're turning that right back around, and we're going to give it to your, what we'll call nonprofit entities of your state, so that they can use this money on the necessities of actually doing things, having events, actually having the websites and having the information, paying for, you know, the organization, the printing and all of that type of stuff. So eventually your nonprofit will actually have a printer and it'll have a computer. They'll have resources that they will be able to start funding themselves and paying for things themselves, instead of you having to, you know, use your home, your computer, and those types of things. Now, I don't foresee the necessity. It may happen, but I don't foresee the necessity of actually buying real estate, offices, and those types of things. You'll still probably have to operate out of the house, but you'll, you know, have shared resources or what have you. And what we expect is we expect the county to actually pick this up and bring in the Citizen Vigilance Unorganized Militia office within the city or the county offices. The whole point is to get government to acknowledge they need citizen vigilance if we're going to stay even keeled and on this path of a constitutional republic. We have to maintain citizen vigilance. We don't need to maintain compulsory citizen vigilance, but if the county is paying for it, it removes this, you know, this burden from the people having to do this themselves, or it removes my need to do this. So as we get two counties in your state to do it, and we start taking the money that we're giving to those two counties out into these other counties, this starts making sense, folks, because now we can actually start doing this more and more, and this is how this grows. As it continues to grow, then we'll actually see states actually flip constitutional, where the states themselves will get rid of the admiralty courts and will no longer have traffic courts and what we call divorce courts and those types of things. It'll all be common law courts. And or the people will determine whether they're willing to be subjugated to a non-common law court. Now, there are people that, you know, will probably say, I don't care about a common law court, but they can't enforce you, or they can't inflict an admiralty court upon you. This goes back to this concept of the right of conscience and your actual constitutional rights that are protected. You have a right to a common law court if you want one. Now, a final note on this before we get into some of the other angles of this. If a business does not have a presence in the area of election, then bottom line, they cannot contribute in any way to those local offices, to the local measures, or the local initiatives, period. So what we're doing, we want to be very clear, we're basically building a wall from all foreign influence in your area of election.
So now when we get back out to, you know, a larger scope of these elections, when we come back, we'll kind of clarify why this is important, because technically all elections are local.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Now, I may not have said this specifically this way, but I'm going to go through these things because it helps to actually say these, because I may have said these in sideways or in other comments regarding these other bullets, but these are here for a very specific reason, because they're important. So large national or global businesses, entities, or organizations must employ clear accounting practices to ensure that no foreign influence to an election within all areas of election within the state occurs, or the businesses, entities, or organizations will and can be fined and punished appropriately by the common law courts of all of the areas of election. In other words, if they contributed and injected themselves in all the different counties, but they only really existed in one, and all of their profits are outside of the state. So in other words, all of their money is foreign money. All of their money is foreign money. Then what, because we talk about areas of election for representation, we're really focusing on a representation here, the people, your legislators, your senators, your representatives in the state, Congress, and so forth. And so these companies must actually identify how they're contributing and where this money comes and so forth. By doing this, it literally makes it very clear that they can't contribute for representation because none of their profits are from within the state. Now, there's a little twist to this. It is recommended that all business owners and employees who operate or work within a business in an area of election where they do not reside. So there's a good chance that these people that are working in this business, that they don't reside. So we already said that they can't, if all their money is foreign, they can't get involved in the influencing of an election for a representative and all these different initiatives and so forth. However, the business owners, the employees who operate this business, if they are living within an AOE that they don't work in, and they actually go and conduct business in a different county, then they should be able to vote, not influence, not contribute,
but vote on all measures or initiatives, not for representation. In other words, we're putting it, this reality twist to it. Here you have stake. And if there are a bunch of progressives in the county that say, we want to be hostile towards these types of businesses, like farming, they consider farming hostile. They want to shut down all the farming in the county because the county is right next to their big city. And so the progressives have seeped into this county and said, we want to shut down all farms. And there are lots of people that may work in those farms because sometimes they're agriculture, what have you. But it doesn't matter. If you don't live in that area where these farms are going to be impacted, but you don't live there, but you work there, or a factory, or a business, you know, engineering, computing, technology, it doesn't matter. If they're trying to shut your business down or trying to create levies for your schools or what have you that will be assigned to your business, you should have the ability to vote on that measure. You as an employee, because you as an employee could lose your job because the people took hostility, unconstitutional hostility towards your job. We all need to be able to fight and defend ourselves. This is not a democracy. This is about representation and or protecting your rights. Now, when you have a right of commerce and you've got a job and that job is, you know, a legitimate job, we're not talking about, you know, drug manufacturing where you're selling, you know, manufacturing opium to create heroin and morphine and these other things to sell to drug dealers. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a legitimate business where people are actually, you know, coming. I know a guy that lives in a different county that owns and operates a gym. And most of the employees that come to this gym, that operate in this gym, even though it caters to the people of the neighboring county, the majority of the people that actually work in this gym are, they live in the neighboring county. They don't live in that county. And so when it comes down to school levies and or fire department and district levies and so forth, they can't vote. Even though it could raise their taxes and it could shut their doors down. That should not happen. You've gone there, you've invested, and they've willingly taken your money to allow you to set up business, but they won't let you protect your business from bad government or overreach. Because bad government and overreach, when they start asking for more money for schools, why is that? Because they're constantly saying that they need more money when they actually don't. And the bottom line is, our paradigm with education is completely wrong. We shouldn't be trying to build these huge vestiges of the old ivory tower. That is an antiquated paradigm of education. You get a much better education in a small environment. I mean, this is even proven in a small environment. That's why homeschooling is superior. Having these large institutional schoolings was, you know, necessary because the economy of scale didn't allow for, you know, institutions to be put on every block. So they had to make them, and they, you know, the state university, there was only one or two or three. Well, the next thing you know, college became big business. Why? Because they started allowing these loans and so forth, and this became a huge part of the corruption. And everybody understands this. So education needs to be knocked down, not just a peg. It needs to be knocked down to the basement, and it needs to be completely revamped into the 21st century of what is best. And I'm telling you right now that when you look at who those people, the most important people that should be involved in the education process of what needs to be taught to the kids, they're not even involved. They're not even involved, but we'll get into that. It's a different topic, and it's a different paradigm. It is recommended that business owners, or I already did that, PACs can only contribute the funds that are received from within the AOE, and I know I've covered this, but they must prove where every penny, you know, of the entities, including their operations, overhead and compensation, etc., come from. And if it's not from within the AOE as well, then they cannot contribute to any race or measure within the AOE, within the area of election. property owners, again, should be allowed to affect those things of their property. And I think I just repeating that, so that I need to highlight that and just say this is redundant, because there's no point in wasting your time going over redundancy. I apologize. The primary intent is to get money and even personal endorsements from outside of an area of election out of all elections. When we look, the final note here, folks, when we look at the presidential election, we, the voters, aren't voting for the president. We are voting for our electors who represent us, and they will vote for us. So I want you to be clear. The popular vote is a perverted paradigm that makes you think that we have a right to vote for our president. The Constitution clearly states that we are to choose our electors. And the only thing that the state legislatures have the control over is the manner in how we vote for them. They used to have control over the senators and how they would appoint those senators, or how they would actually allow the manner if they wanted to open that up to the people. But the appointing of the process, they don't have the ability to say, these are your electors. They can't do that. We are to vote for our electors as it says in the Constitution. And then they are to cast ballots on who they choose to be president and who they choose to be vice president, and you know, all the parameters that they qualify in that process. But to be clear, folks, even the presidential election is not a national election. It is a local election, because it is our election for our electors, not the president. Now let me jump into this new one. And this is a new topic. It's called voting in a Republican form of government. And so the whole concept is that, you know, when we actually vote, we're voting for our representation. So let's go through this. The role and responsibility regarding voting delegated to the general government within the Constitution and its amendments regarding the application of a variety of federal voting rights acts must be evaluated to ensure that there are no assumptions of roles, responsibilities, or powers that are not delegated by the Constitution to the federal government, exercised other than those specifically delegated within the Constitution and its 28 ratified amendments. So let's go through the Constitution real quick, folks, because we have to understand what they can do and what they can't do. The role, responsibility, or power delegated in the Constitution regarding voting to the general government are as follows. Now, these are the powers delegated to the general government. Article 1, Section 4. The times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the state legislature thereof. So in other words, they're to prescribe that. But the Congress may at time make law or alter such regulations, such as the places of choosing senators. And so this right here, the places of choosing senators can be redefined by, because in the Constitution, the choosing of the senators is done within the state legislature. Well, I've got to go through the ratification debates, but to me, it doesn't mean that the federal government has control over, you know, carte blanche over these elections. They can make minor alterations, but the state legislatures are the controllers of all of this. We'll get back into voting in a Republican form of government. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.